This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
Here we go. Lorenzo Robinson is the feature back. Junior quarterback Will Currid. They can get a first down. It's Robinson straight up the gut, fighting for yards, pushing. Did he get in? Yes, he did. Touchdown for the Crusaders of Stepanak.
And with that score, Stepanak ties the game at 21-21 early in the fourth quarter. Sims, a game that St. Anthony's dominated in the first half. Did you think it was over right there and that Stepanak would go on to win?
It was definitely looking that way for sure. The Crusaders were dominating in that second half.
Not so fast, my friend. Harv!
From 30 yards in the lead, Grossi, it is blocked! Ball is loose! Look out here! Going the distance! Are you kidding me? Touchdown, St. Anthony's! J.J. Jaden Jenkins! The Double J Express has given the Friars the lead!
Jimmy had a lot of J's in there.
Wow, what a moment, though, that was. I really was speechless at the time.
You said that on the air.
Man, because I didn't know what to say. It was just such a turn of events for St. Anthony's to win the game in that fashion. You know, again, just Stepanak dominated that second half. They really did.
Totally.
It was unbelievable. 21 unanswered points in the second half. The offensive line played phenomenally well. They played extremely tough. Man, Osborne, Lorenzo Robinson, Deontay Douglas with the coming
we'll
out party. Man,
second.
Number two, what a performance by him. And then, yeah, Ian Strong blocking the field goal.
That was our game of the week last night that
yes,
you and Jimmy had. This afternoon, we'll add another person to our announced team, Jack Bartek, who's done such a wonderful job on stats.
Yes, sir.
And that game will kick at 1 o'clock at Caven Point as Seton Hall Prep, who lost two heartbreakers last year to St. Peter's Prep by 1 point. That'll kick today on MSGSN, the old MSG Plus, at 1 o'clock. And remember, Sims, the high school football show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by the All-American Ford Auto Group. I heard there was a guy there yesterday wearing a number 11 jersey. The number one auto Ford group in the Northeast with locations throughout New Jersey and Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Visit allamericanford.net. I heard that an Expedition was purchased yesterday by
yes,
good
sir.
Old Big
yes,
Phil.
Sir. They like all the stuff that I'm doing for them at All American Ford that they gave my family, my father, a new car. No, I'm kidding. He purchased it, obviously. They didn't just
heard he
to
got
him,
a good deal.
I'm sure he did.
Sims,
I'm sure he did. He got my deal.
He did. You know, it's amazing. He can get all these Fords at the blink of an eye for everything that we do.
Right.
We can't even get a cup of Bigelow tea.
I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So it's good to know that Diana's going to be driving around in style now.
Things roll downhill for us, huh,
Michael? In Bergen County. Okay, that's the good news, that the Simses have a new car. I got a major problem with what happened in the state of New Jersey yesterday.
Okay, talk to me.
Now, there are reports, okay, that the old coach
yes.
from Montclair, John Fiore, who's the Elizabeth coach now,
right.
reports in the Star Ledger stated that he turned his old team in for an illegal player, a grades issue, and he turned it in yesterday morning. Now, I will say this. I was gonna text Coach Fiore early this morning when I got up at 3 to start studying this. I thought it was too early. If Coach Fiore wants to call the show, we'd love to have him do it. 1-800-919-3776.
Now, this is just the initial report, though. We don't
know
if this
is fact. The
initial report.
That's why I want him to call the show.
Okay.
Okay? If it's true that he was the one who turned him in, how do you do that? Like, these are kids that you coached last year. There are kids that went to Montclair High School yesterday to play in a state quarterfinal game against Ridgewood, and their season just blew up. There was no finality to the season. So we don't know.
Oh, so they actually were there ready to play?
No, it found out during the day. But so
okay,
the kids,
all right.
You put your backpack on in the morning, off you go, you got your jersey on.
I thought that they were actually about to line up, and then they're hey.
So it was an administrative oversight. That what cost them. An ineligible player who played in a lot of games this year.
Right.
I don't know who. I don't know what position.
Right.
But
it was a grades issue.
It was a grades issue. And the school did admit they made a mistake.
Okay.
So Montclair High School did admit they made a mistake.
Right.
The problem is, if coach did that, why would you do that to your old school? If you have an issue with the administration, don't hurt the kids.
Well, first, shame on the school.
I know it's a rule, but
shame
come
on the school. Shame on the school for not knowing. It's not the kids' fault.
Correct.
You know, now listen, it's It's his fault to an extent for not doing what he needed to do in the classroom for him to be able to play the game, right? So that's one thing. But it's the school's fault for making that issue and not being aware of it. But also, you're exactly right. You know, coach, and if this is true, again, this is all hearsay at the moment.
Correct.
But, wow, that would be, you know, to say, yeah, that group of 70 kids on that football team, I'm going to end your season out of potential spite for maybe my relationships there at the school. I don't know. But that's just like, if that's true, that's kind of going out of your way unnecessarily to take away opportunities for kids to have fun playing a game. You know,
Jackie always talks to me about fate. Like, be careful what you do. His new team that he coaches, Elizabeth, they lost 49-14 last night.
Okay.
Now, by the way, here's another issue I have with the state of New Jersey.
All right.
What are we doing in the football playoffs when teams with 2 and 3 wins can make the postseason? It's a joke. In football, there is no sport where the regular season means more because they are not games that you play in football. They are events.
Right.
They are events. And people who are rewarded for being below 500, here's the deal. You know what you want to do? Not everybody's going to make it in with a 500 record in my world.
Right.
Okay? Get rid of the five groups. Cut it down to four. Cut it down to four.
But I can't agree with you. I mean, it's ridiculous the fact that you're going to go and play in playoff games for playing poorly for the entire season. You know, that's something that has to change. Now, again, Montclair, it's like they earned the right to be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams did not, you know, and it's just, I don't know.
They beat Ridgewood 2 weeks ago. Montclair did.
Yeah, and to me, it's like you got to earn it. You got to earn the right to be in the playoffs, to play other really good teams that earn the right to be there. I understand that we want, you know, and that's the thing. We're kind of talking at both sides of our mouth here early on because I'm saying, like, you know, you want the kids to have fun. You want to do this and this. But it's just at the same time, too, it's just like, where's the integrity of the game
no doubt. We're
congratulating everybody for losing every game of the season, you know? But, yeah, to be below 500, there's too many champions in all three of our states in this tri-state area.
We're going to tear Connecticut up in the next couple weeks.
I understand that we're a very densely populated area, but there really is no reason for us to have close to 50 state champions out of the three states.
You know who that is? I'm going to steal one of Cavallo's lines. The trophy companies.
You're right.
They're the only ones.
Well, I don't know. I've seen those trophies. They're pretty cheap looking. So.
All right. Come on. Take it easy, Sims. Are you nervous? A little bit nervous today?
Today? I mean, listen, we'll see what the football gods have in store for me. People are going to be upset with me, and that's just the facts.
So last week you did your top 10 players, non-quarterbacks.
Right.
Any feedback?
Not too much. I mean, there was a few. I believe that was Darius Morant's father that called in last week. And you know, hey, he should have been in consideration potentially. And there was a few others that responded to me on Twitter and Instagram and all that.
You want to name names?
No, I don't. It's not necessary.
No,
you can't either. But it was funny, too, is that, like, you know, people are tweeting me like, hey, how about this player? And it's like, you know, and I see some of his games, he doesn't even play. So, you know, listen, again, this was a list of people, except for Sabor Kareem, all these people on the list, I saw them live and in person this season. And sorry to the state of Connecticut, too. They're not in the list of top 50 quarterbacks, and they're not in my quarterback list or players list, and that's really my fault. That's something I got to get better at next year.
I'm trying to get you and your brother, Chris.
Right.
Oh, by the way, are you still upset with me? Last week when we went out to Holy Trinity and watched that awful game, I introduced you to somebody as Chris, and you were upset with me.
I wasn't upset with you. I mean, come on. I was busting your bees, you know? I wasn't upset. I have been... Chris Sims is a Doppler ganger a long time in my life, and occasionally he gets the Mad Sims too, which I enjoy too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I would like for both of you to come to the – I'm going to Brunswick next Saturday night for Avon Old Farms. My buddy Christian Allegro, who got another offer this week, Wisconsin.
Congratulations.
So, and the Wisconsin coaches came to Avon Old Farms in person to
offer. That's pretty awesome. Yeah.
That's a big deal.
It's good.
15 seconds into the game last night, it was over when Tyler Coffa took a 12-yard interception. Go home, everybody. Union City rolls over Union in the North 1 Group 5 playoffs. Congratulations to our buddy Wilbur Valdez.
Yeah.
Fooch and Eddie wanted him on the show this week because they were so upset with you last week that you had no Union City guys on the list.
And again, you know, I haven't seen Union City this year, and I'll do a better job of looking into some of these other teams that we didn't cover. But again, I just wanted to make sure that the list was about people that I really was – first-hand experience with
your rules,
for the
not
most
Fooch's.
Part.
Okay? Yeah. Your rule's not Fuchs's. I did tell them both. If they
and
were
Fuchs is mad at me just because they had a Rutgers recruit on their team, and I understand that too, whereas the other top 10 players on the list was primarily dominated with Maryland. Again, I didn't look at any offers by anybody. It was literally just what I saw on the field.
You don't owe him any apology.
And I know that. I'm just explaining myself. And even too with the quarterbacks, like I didn't look at who they were going to school until after I made the list, you know? And that's why Wayne Coleman was in the top 10 players. I had no idea he has not one offer to play college football.
We'll get
that
to
is
him
ridiculous.
In a
okay, sorry.
No. Before we do
getting
that,
excited.
Just one question.
Yeah.
If we weren't doing the Seton Hall prep St. Peter's game today, where would you be?
Today?
Yep.
Nope, that's the only place I want to be.
Sims, you're out of your mind.
I know. Canarsie or Asmussen.
100%.
For sure.
We will pick that game later in the show.
I'm just,
and
you know.
Canarsie Football
trying
Nation.
Trying to back up my producer here.
Canarsie Football Nation put out a tweet using you and I talking about the game last
week. It was just you, really.
Well, I heard you laugh.
Yeah, I laughed in the background.
When I said,
but man, you know, it is
Donald Avenue.
What an exciting matchup that is, though. Canarsie and Erasmus Hall. I mean, the amount of football players on that field is absolutely redundant.
Oh my God! You're looking at you're stealing my lines.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, listen, I do homework too. You know, so.
Harv, hit it. The blocked field goal, Jenkins the touchdown, and
right.
The 27-21 win with 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
But once again, the wizardry of good old number two, Matt Sims. You have Ian Strong as your number one player in the tri-state. He shot the gap, had the block. That's what great players do.
For sure, and he was a presence on the defensive side of the field all night. He had a handful of tackles. He had a forced fumble that caused was a huge turnover in that game. So Ian Strong making an impact, and now you see why Rutgers recruited him as a defensive player as much as an offensive player, but we'll see how it works out for him at the next level.
And you know Rutgers, Coach Chiano, they love their special team. So St. Anthony
for
now,
sure.
The top seed, so they will stay away if they do everything what they're supposed to in the quarters and the semis. The only way they can play Stepanak or Iona Prep again would be in the championship at Mitchell
and
Field.
And I'm curious to see, too, if that there's going to be a Kellenberg-Stepanak rematch in the playoffs as well, depending on how the seeding plays out.
Oh, you're good, Sims.
But, man, that would be really fascinating, especially with how they struggled against Devin Page, who's a very similar-styled quarterback than Dante, maybe not as good as a thrower, but they have issues keeping the quarterback in the pocket for Stepanak, and that's one of their problems going into the playoffs.
Speaking of Kellenberg quarterbacks, Eddie Sluka today for Holy Cross up in Worcester, the game of the week in 1AA football, taking on our Fordham University Rams. That's going to be a lot of fun. Congratulations to Charlie McKee. The Wizard predicted last week Stony Brook will get their first win. Charlie magnificent in a 28-27 victory over Maine, of course, a product of Oceanside High School. We've gone gaga about St. Anthony's this year.
Right.
There were major issues I had last night with Friars. First of all, 1 of 10 on third down. 10 penalties for 100 yards. And I thought in the second half, the game plan got away from them. They were having Dante Torres throw the ball deep too much.
Yeah, they kind of lost just a little bit of their identity and what they were doing well in the first half. Where'd Frank Ruda go was right, but just, got a little impatient at times. I think Dante as well, you know, as the game went on, got a little jittery at times as well. It was really, you know, unfortunately, hey, I'll give you a hint. He's on the top 10 QBs list here today, but the issue is that, you know, he actually played his worst game of the year yesterday. So it's good that he got it out of his system. Mm. But, man, St. Anthony's, so many good football players on their team. And that's a good sign of a football team. They won a really, really ugly football game in that second half, and you have to win ugly football games to be a championship team. I do like that both St. Anthony's and Stepanak are running the ball more finally.
Have to.
And you can see that both teams are getting tougher and more physical at the line of scrimmage. So I think that'll play well into both of them having a championship run.
You have your St. Anthony roster with you? Any chance?
I do,
I said number 77... Do you remember their offensive lineman? He was killing people in the first half last night. Carrion, is it? Like, I don't know.
77 is...
He was great in the first half.
Carson Kiakuli.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable, Sims. Unbelievable. Will Curry.
Ryan Murphy, Christian Olive, Billy Dowling, Chris Novelli. I mean, all those guys, they played extremely well at the front line there for St. Anthony's, but, you know, really struggled in that second half just to find an identity offensively, and that wasn't really their issue, just... You know, kind of some of the play calls.
Personal message to Will Currid, the Stepanak quarterback. Will, You got to get the first down there, man. You never want to leave a kick up to a high school kicker. Even though Stepanek has a good kicker, you can see you got to get the first down. You can't go into the baseball slide. So, Will, in the future, and you said it during a game, I thought you were spot on. You don't want quarterbacks dropping shoulders, but in certain situations, they have to, and
yeah,
that was
I
one
mean,
of them.
If there was one situation in the season, it probably would have been that for him. You know, it's a got-to-have-it situation, you know, for your team. You're 3rd and 9, you run the quarterback draw. You know, to slide prematurely and make it a 4th and 3 situation. You know, you never really want to rely on special teams at any level, and especially at high school. You know, and that's a situation, too, where, yeah, I just would have liked for him to just strain and just be a little, you know, a little tougher in that situation and see if he got the first down.
Real fast before we go to break, what's great about this job is every week you go out, you find somebody. Now, you were on this kid, Deontay Douglas, 3 weeks ago. He took
very
his game.
Very impressed for Iona Prep.
If he get now with the bad shoulder, if he yeah. gets healthy, I was talking to Coach Murph after the game. If he gets healthy and he's ready to go, he's got to be featured in this offense down the stretch.
No doubt. And really what was the interesting factor in the game is that Stepanek stepped into a wing T offense late in that second half, and it was super effective versus St. Anthony's. Another thing for defenses to think about going into the playoffs, another thing that's going to waste time preparing for Stepanek, which is always good because you just want to force people to waste time, right? But man, Deontay Douglas, two touchdowns, an interception, a handful of tackles defensively, and an onside kick recovery that was huge in the game. This dude was everywhere. He is going to be a sleeper for some school out there that's looking for a good football player.
Last week, you named Wayne Coleman, the nose guard from Stepanek, sixth best overall player.
Right.
He may be your sixth best, but he's my favorite player to watch in the Tri-State.
What was great, too, is that the opening kickoff, he ran down there and just absolutely obliterated the St. Anthony's returner, and he didn't even like tackle him like through the ground. He literally just hit him with the shoulder, and the guy was thrown 20 feet out of the club. It was ridiculous. And there's no stat that really shows you how important Wayne Coleman is on the high school level. Now, if we had like AWS and all that other stuff and next gen stats and all that, you would see that Wayne Coleman probably disrupts the pocket 80% of the time. The problem is that Stepanek can't keep the quarterback inside the pocket, so he's literally just chasing somebody, you know, it's just unbelievable his impact on the football team. The fact that he's on kickoff, the fact that he's playing all the snaps that he does on defense, he definitely got worn out late in the game, which was an issue, but man, what a talent he is. Somebody go out there and get him. Come on. Monmouth, where are you at?
Kevin Callahan, wake up.
Go get this guy. You're going to tell me Logan Barnes and Wayne Coleman at D tackle at Monmouth are not going to be disruptive players? Like, dude, come on, go get them. Chris Moreno at left guard? Like, I'm telling you, I'm building your interior team right now.
Harvey is blinking a red light.
Yeah, sorry,
man. You're just going on. And as I look across the desk, I see Sims with a...
You see these hieroglyphics?
I see unbelievable notes as we get ready. His top 10 quarterbacks. We will do that when we come back on the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Good luck, Sims. Unload on him, people.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
Jets High School Player of the Week, fueled by Gatorade, brought to you by Gatorade, and our commitment to fuel tomorrow. Each week during the high school football season, the New York Jets and Gatorade will honor a player of the week. The player will receive a $1,000 donation from the New York Jets and Gatorade in their name to support their high school football program. This week's player, Braden Nolan, the 5'9", 190-pound two-way standout for undefeated Newton High School. The running back linebacker last week helped beat a good Sparta team 33-29, carrying the ball 27 times for 214 yards and 2 touchdowns. Last night, Sims, they opened up the North 2 Group 2 playoffs. What do you think they did?
Gave them the football. That's what they did.
Only 12 times, but it didn't matter. 202 yards and 2 touchdowns. And he also got his scoring started with a 21-yard interception return as Newton beat Becton 49-0. They go to 9-0 on the year. And next Friday night, they host Glenrock in the second round. All right, Matthew.
Braden.
Here we go. So last week, you had all of this criteria for your players. Your non-quarterback players.
Right.
What's the criteria
don't
this week?
Don't say it's like all this criteria. I mean, wow, was it really that long of a list? I mean, come on, man. I learned it from you anyway.
What is the criteria?
Criteria today is I'm going to mention a lot of quarterbacks here. The top 10, they're all seniors. They're impact players. You know, their playmaking ability in the air, on the ground, and just their overall impact for their individual team.
You love to throw the football.
I do.
Do you? Are you partial to a quarterback who can get inside the tackles and really rip it, can move around in the pocket?
I think I appreciate that more because I knew that I didn't do that very well.
No question.
Me, that's like something that's just beyond even my scope of how I saw the game when I played. So I really appreciate players that do those things
well. But the ability to move in the pocket is more important than a guy can get out and go.
That's an art, too. I mean, it depends. It just really depends on the style of play in which you play, your team, what's conducive to help you getting victories.
Okay.
So it really depends.
Okay, Harv, here we go. Okay, rip through. These are like honorable mentions,
guys. All
right,
guys. So honorable
mentions. You looked at 50 quarterbacks.
I did. So I dropped it down to like 25.
And it didn't have to be guys you saw in person.
No,
this can be. Okay,
no.
Good.
I did as many as I possibly could. So honorable mention is Connor Deeds, Brick Township, Pat Grusser, DePaul, Dylan Bosner, Wallkill Valley, Jacob Zammit, Millville, Frankie Farmer, the Petty School, Chris Howell, who, man, was really close to getting in there because he's playing hot late at Canarsie, Robbie Carsage of Westwood, Tommy Caracciolo at Old Tappan, Deontay Ruffin from Camden, Matt Fitzsimmons from Somers.
Oh, I like that call,
Sims. Mackay Ford, Toms River North. And, yeah, Matt Fitzsimmons was a very tough call. He almost made the top 10.
I wish he was a junior.
For sure.
I look at him. I have to talk to Coach. I hate to send kids to prep school. He could be a prep school kid.
And Will Currid of Stepanak, also honorable mention.
Get the first down, buddy.
Move on, Mike.
Okay. So now this is your top 10?
All right, so now top 10 right here. Starting at number 10, I put Van Weber of Rutherford.
Oh, I like that.
Number 10, Van Weber, Rutherford. At number 9.
Why? Well,
yeah,
why?
Sorry,
give me something about him, Sims.
Van Weber, just, you know, a more traditional style quarterback, not the guy that you are going to say, like, get us the yards on the ground, but plays the position extremely well, very calm and composed, moves well in the pocket, makes good decisions routinely at the position, throws a good football, you know, consistent thrower, throws it well on the run. So I just thought with his consistency at the position compared to some others that were very close, I add him at number 10.
I like it. At number 9.
At number 9 is Devin Page of Kellenberg. And I also, to add to this list of criteria, it's this year. It's not your body of work.
Okay.
It's who's performing well this season.
Okay.
Devin Page, having a fantastic year, doing it on the ground, doing it through the air, extending football plays, making Patrick Mahomes-like plays by extending them and making plays down the field. Absolute leader for that Kellenberg team. And the reason why we're talking about Kellenberg is because of Devin Page. If he's not on that football team, they're on the bottom of the list of their league for sure.
Where's he going? Lehigh next year?
He's committed to Penn.
Penn. There you go. Pretty close.
Number 8, John Mikowski of Moore Catholic.
Oh, really? That was a Staten Island accent.
Yeah. No, I just, that was an exciting accent.
Okay.
So John is one of those football players to me that if he was at other schools, maybe that were maybe a little bit more talented or had a little bit more depth, we would absolutely be talking about him at a more efficient level.
Mm-hmm.
Strong, physical, strong thrower down the field, aggressive thrower down the field, a little bit of a gunslinger mentality, which gets him in trouble at times. But also, too, why you have to like him as well. Literally puts his cojones on the line a lot. All right, runs tough, plays outside linebacker too. So it's like he is like an impact player for his team in the way that he plays. Super tough.
Do you see a little Steve Levy, the old Don Bosco quarterback
in
him?
Great compare. I don't like to make too many comparisons, but you're absolutely right.
Say that louder.
He is just like Steve Levy in a lot of ways. But yes, heart and soul for that team. John Mikowski, Moore Catholic, committed to Sacred Heart.
Home of champions, my alma mater. At number 7.
Yes, sir. Oh, my God, that's terrible. Number 7, Tyler Douglas of Ocean Township.
Did not play last night, and they got whacked.
Did not play, and they got whacked. And listen, they got whacked because he wasn't on the football
field.
Yeah,
lost 34-7 to Burlington Township. Burlington Township was the 7th seed.
Yeah, and you know, really, Tyler Douglas, really good football player, plays the position extremely well, too, makes good decisions. They run a good offense, so you can kind of see him at that next level already. Big, strong, physical, good runner, runs with power, runs with speed. You know, and yeah, just able to extend plays, able to just, you know, take calculated risk. You know, so talented football player. He's committed to Temple. They're getting a sneaky, really good football player that I don't think has hit his ceiling quite yet. Number 6 is Marco Linez III from the Hun School. He's committed to Iowa. Now, Marco, you know, unfortunately plays, I think, in a really average league. He plays some really average competition, but Marco is a really good quarterback. Again, just
see a fifth-year guy? Is he a post-grad?
I don't know that. I got to double-check. I apologize. I should have done more.
No, that's okay.
But
you've done enough.
I'm impressed with Marco Linnez. I thought that he was a really good quarterback. I think he does a lot of really good things at the position, consistently makes good decisions. Decision-making, really, to me, was the biggest thing. You know, I was trying to watch actual games to see how they react in certain situations. And just really impressed with his play, you know, and just how calm he is, the plays that he makes both on the ground and in the air for his football team. Again, like, I think the reason why he is six on the list is because it's just hard for me to imagine, you know, some of the other guys that are higher on the list just play better competition than he does.
Number five.
He does have a high ceiling.
Where's he going?
Iowa.
Iowa. Number five.
Jack Grosser. Jack Grosser is an absolute baller. He's a Power 5 quarterback who is committed to Harvard at the moment. Jack Grosser is number five, unfortunately, on the list here today just because he's been injured this year and he hasn't played. Other than that, though, I would have potentially considered him with what he did last season. If he were able to be on the field here again this season, he probably would have been in the top three for sure.
Okay.
You know, so Jack Grosser is a baller. He's had a really good season when he's played.
Played well last night.
He played well last night again. He played well a week ago against Ridgewood. And you can see that he's hampered with his injury. Now, reason why he's five is because he missed some games, but he's playing gritty through his injury. He's playing well. Another great decision maker, explosive runner, but not able to take advantage of that right now because of his injury. But Jack Grosser, phenomenal football player. Again, probably would have been higher if he were healthy and played the whole season.
At number four,
Champ Long.
Okay, we're going to see him today on MSG Sports Network.
From Maryland. And Champ, just like Jack, probably could have been in that 1-2, 1-2-3 spot. But, you know, for a Champ in that situation, strong arm, really moves in the pocket well. I think at times just a little bit too much of a gunslinger mentality. So has thrown interceptions in certain games that, you know, that's the reason why he's at the number four list. But his super talented arm, he really knows how to make plays down the field. And he's just a really good quarterback. He makes a lot of good football plays. And, you know, I think the biggest thing why he's number four is just too many turnovers and just not enough, like, statement wins, you know, for them. And I don't think that's necessarily totally on him. But, you know, compared to the rest of the guys that are on the list, he doesn't do enough on the ground compared to these other three that we're going to go to.
Jack Grosser, of course, from Ramapo High School at number five. Champ Long, number four at number three.
And he's committed to Maryland. I'm sorry, Rutgers, but it's true. So Nick Minicucci from Don Bosco
Prep.
Played
great last night, by the way.
And listen, Nick Minicucci.
DePaul almost won that game last night.
Almost won, but Nick Minicucci is a baller. Last year, he wouldn't even have been in the top 30 quarterbacks of my list. And that's how, you know, proud I am of him, of how much he's improved at the position and gotten more confident at the position. Dude is an absolute baller. Through the air, on the ground, the heart and soul of that football team. Bosco goes where he goes, and it's just unbelievable the progress that he has made at the position. And again, that's why I say this year he's absolutely balled out and making good decisions and running extremely hard for power and with speed.
Was he have a half scholarship to Delaware, but did he get the UNH
full offer?
He just
got a full ride to New Hampshire. And so we'll see. That's going to be a tough one right there.
Here we go, Sims, at number two. It's like a beauty contest. When you say two, you have a good idea who's number one. So go.
No doubt. Number two is a Johnny Shepherd. A Johnny Shepherd is just an absolute baller. He does it all. He throws extremely well. He throws on extended plays in and outside the pocket. He's an unbelievable runner. He's one of the main reasons why he was almost 1-2. There was times it was 3rd and 15 in multiple games this year, and he's running for first downs. And not just running for first downs where he's running around people. He's running through and around them with power and speed. A Johnny Shepherd is an absolute beast. He's going to end the season probably this year again with 2,000 passing, 1,000 yards rushing. You know, so it's very tough for me to say that he's not one of the top five quarterbacks in this area with just his dominance at the position. Because if you stop him in the pass game, he runs over you. If you stop him in the run game, he throws over you. So dude just can do it all. Super impressed with his season this year, especially with the hype of last season. He's still doing it again.
Old Dominion, here he comes.
Old Dominion,
and
that's right.
Number one.
Number one, unfortunately, we saw his worst game of the year yesterday, but Dante Torres. I mean, the facts are this. Dante Torres has had the best year out of any quarterback in the tri-state area. And unfortunately, we saw his worst game yesterday, but dude is doing it. And I know everyone's going to be like, well, he has Ian Strong and KJ Duff. You know what? But he's also taking advantage of them as well. Because you could say that about Champ Long. He has Zion Fowler and Kenyon Massey. You know, but Dante Torres plays the position extremely well, moves well in the pocket, extends plays outside of the pocket too, is a really good underrated runner for St. Anthony's. May not run for 100 yards, but man, is a backbreaker on the ground too. Made a lot of good throws last night despite their inefficiencies on third down. But man, Dante Torres, phenomenal season this year. You cannot deny his production that he's had this season. And honestly, would have had potentially the play of the game for St. Anthony's if not for a block in the back call when he converted a 3rd and 16, scrambling and running for a touchdown.
Had a 4th and 10 conversion last
night, too. I mean, and not a
touchdown
for a first down.
You happy with your team?
I am.
You really?
Yeah.
I got a problem with it.
Yeah, hit me.
Harv, music change. Here we go. The quarterback that Matt Sims missed comes out of Brearley High School, where last night in the North 1 group round, first round playoff game, this young man went 4 of 8 through the air for 129 yards and hit on 3 2-point conversions. He can also scoot. Carried the ball 18 times for 204 yards and 5 touchdowns. The young man's name, Matt Sims. How about that? Who's doing research like that?
That is crazy.
That is my number one quarterback. And next week, I hope he's sitting in here next to me because I've had enough of you. The High School Football Show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by Spectrum. Introducing Spectrum One, the future of connectivity is fast, secure, and reliable. Internet, advanced, Wi-Fi, and mobile for just $49.99 a month. One connection, total connectivity, restrictions apply. Visit spectrum.com for details. Sims, great job. Back with a rip around and Cavallo after this.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
Moja lined up as a tight end on the far side. Cassess still in the backfield here. And Mora barking out the signals, gives to Cassess. Now he keeps it himself. He's going to throw it to the near side. Pass is complete. Down inside the 10, inside the 5, towards the end zone. And let's see, touchdown. Anthony Gentile, the senior wide receiver, is able to get the ball across the plane. And it's 13-0 Plain Edge.
And Plain Edge lost, Sims.
Talk to me, Coach.
To Manhasset. They've won 20 in a row now. Caden Mara, 6 of 6, 174 yards, 3 touchdowns. Peter Schwartz, good to have him on, coming by way of RC Media. The High School Football Show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one Ford Auto Group in the Northeast with locations throughout New Jersey and Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Visit allamericanford.net. Hit me some Rutgers music, Harv. Big one today. They take one of the best defenses in the country on the road to Minnesota, 2:30 kick. If they can keep it low scoring, can Nuns dial something up, our buddy, the offensive coordinator, to get Rutgers a second consecutive win in the Big Ten? Did you listen to anything I was saying?
To one word.
What are you
that
getting?
You just said.
What are you getting? Feedback?
I'm getting hate mail right now.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. See, you know what? That it matters.
It matters. Yeah.
I asked you if Rutgers, they play that great defense against a Minnesota team that's struggling.
Yes, sir.
Can Nuns dial something up offensively to get a couple touchdowns?
They absolutely can.
Good.
They absolutely can. With their style of play, I mean, really all it is that Nunzio, you know, which is easier said than done, just got to steal about 4 or 5 plays on the offensive side of the football to just energize and motivate your team to carry the momentum into the victory again like they did last week versus Indiana.
Here we go. New Jersey upsets. Hit it, Harv. Last night, North 1, Group 1. Kinnelon, the 8th seed, took down Park Ridge 36-34. They're taking on my buddy Matt Sims and Brearley in the next round. North 1, Group 2, number 6, Jefferson, 14-10 over number 3, Madison. North 1, Group 5, West Orange, kind of deceiving 6, played a good schedule, went to Watchung Hills, the 3 seed, beat them 18-10. Watchung Hills playing their first home playoff game since 79. Oh, boy. South Group 3, we talked about it. Burlington Township rolled Ocean Township. No Tyler Douglas, and that's why. Central Group 5, Edison, the 6, beats Hillsborough, the 3, the defending champs, 10-7. Quarterback Matt Yasko, 19 of 28 for 236 yards. Big nights in New Jersey. North 2, Group 4, Morris Knowles, 35-14. Dom Delamonicky, 31 carries, 283 yards, and 3 touchdowns, all career highs. Hey, he said, what the heck, let me do some defensive stuff too. Picked up a fumble, 35-yard touchdowns. Who are they playing next, Sims?
I don't know.
North Hunterdon. Thank you, pal. North 1, Group 5, East Orange. They had that controversial championship against Clifton last year. Clifton, for the second time, beat him this year. So Ralph Sinque's Mustangs knock East Orange out of the playoffs. North 1, Group 3. Riverdale rolls 35-14. Had a great call with my old buddy Mike Miello, your brother Chris's old high school coach. He loves his quarterback, Jacob Scanza, for good reason. 15-22, 216, touchdown, ran for 2. They beat Vernon 35-14. What do you know about Scanza?
Scanza is a baller, and that's actually someone that probably fell through the cracks on my list and should have been mentioned, you know, at least in the honorable mention for sure.
That's why I brought it up. North 1, Group 1. Waldwick, Midland Park, 51. Creskill, the 6th seed, 31. Bryce Hamilton, the dude can flat out burn. 15 carries, 288 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He'll take on the herd of Mountain Lakes in the semifinals. North 2, Group 4, Wayne Valley, turnaround story in the tri-state area.
Yeah.
Colt Lars and his guys, they go to 10-0 after a 3-7 season a year ago, 34-20 over Chatham. Danny Smith, 222 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns. So, we want to get to Jimmy real fast. I had a whole bunch of other stuff. Maybe I'll put it out online or something. But, right. Jim, real fast today, 1 o'clock, MSG Sports Network, Seton Hall Prep, St. Peter's Prep. Give it to us.
I love when you preface it by saying, coming to me real fast. I love it. But you know what? It's going to be a lot of fun. Here's the thing about St. Peter's Prep. Okay, they've beaten St. Joe's, lost to Bosco, lost to Bergen. But their head coach, Rich Hanson III, said, you know what? We have the best offense of the whole bunch, and we're going to go out and prove that today. And when he talks about Champ Long, he puts him in the big four of all-time St. Peter's quarterbacks. You want to put Joe Daly in there? Absolutely. Then you get to Brandon Wimbush and Will Hill. But he puts Champ Long right in there, and he's got a spectacular array of receivers. Kenyon Massey, Zion Fowler heading to Pitt, Hassan Moore, Jalen Klein. But this is about the Hansons and the Fitzgeralds. Coach Billy Fitzgerald, okay, his family grew up with the Hansons in the 1970s in Hoboken, and there was a lot of harmony. There was a lot of love between the Hansons and the Fitzgeralds. Well, today, boys, it's like the Hatfields and the McCoys. There's no love anymore. It's like when Sims rolls in to Jersey City and St. Peter's Country. They can't stand that guy. I mean, and Matty Sims from Greeley,
don't
go into Jersey City. You'll be running around saying, I spell it with one M.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot. Jimmy is starting to sound more and more like Dick Vitale all the time.
That was awesome.
It was pretty good.
Great, yeah.
How long do you think he worked on that stuff?
That's off the cuff,
that's
man.
Off the cuff?
That's off the cuff. That's how much of a natural he is. That's why he has that job and not you. Wow.
Thank you,
no response.
No, there's a response. The response will be next week when Matt Sims from Breeley is sitting there.
Oh,
the
yeah.
High school football
Go
show
ahead.
On 98.7 ESPN is presented by Sloman's low price home heating oil at 24-hour service. Call 1-866-OIL-DEAL right now to see how much you can save this winter on heating oil with Sloman's. That's 1-866-OIL-DEAL. Picks when we come back.
Woo! This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
Thank God the Chaminade Holy Trinity game is over. I lost that. Sims once again goes against Bergen Nation. He's made it personal. Totally disliked by everyone on the corner of Forest and Oradell, except Brian and Amy Mahoney. And then we both won Farmingdale Massapequa. You were 1-1 on the week. I was 2-1. You're 11-8 on the year. And I am 12-12, so I'm right there. Now it gets serious. You have put your hand in the hornet's nest. There has been some responses, multiple responses about your quarterbacks. And, hey, that's what it's about, Sims.
Hey, sorry to disappoint, but, you can't say that I didn't do the research.
Totally.
I looked at as much film as possible and tried to look at it from non-biased eyes. I mean, of course, with Sims Complete QB, I trained a lot of these guys, but,
yep.
You know, just I thought I was fair and just and explained why they're there. And, you know, hey, everybody at home, it doesn't even matter who I got on my number one list. Go out there and watch these guys play, and you decide who you think is the number one, because there's just a lot of really good quarterbacks in our tri-state area, and it quite we haven't hit that bubble yet in the country for people knowing that, but I think it is coming, and it's coming because of all of these great quarterbacks that we have here this year and to come in years future.
It was a great segment, Sims.
Wow, that was well
you
said.
Know? No, it was actually pretty good. Somebody must have wrote that for you.
That's
hit
right.
it, Harv, here
Jimmy
we go.
Jimmy Cavallo.
Seton Hall Prep, 4-4. At Caven Point, 1 o'clock today. The game is on MSG Sports
Don't
Network.
Ask
you,
me.
Cavallo, and Jack Bartek on the call.
Okay.
I know you won't pick it.
I can't.
Okay. Seton Hall Prep started 4-1. They've lost their last three. I believe in this Pirate football team. I really do. I think a pivotal moment in this season, late in the half against Bosco 2 weeks ago, they score. I think it maybe is a little bit different the last 2 weeks. Up at the half against St. Joe's last week, fell apart.
But not today.
St. Peter's gives up a ton of points, so I like the matchup here.
Yeah.
I like the matchup.
All right.
But
who you
not
got?
Enough to take Seton
That's
Hall
what
Prep.
I thought you'd
but the
say.
Game is going to be good. I'm going with St. Peter's. All right, man. We talked about it. High noon, McDonald Avenue, Sid Luckman Field, high level dudes. This place will be on fire. 5-1 Canarsie on the road at 4-2 Erasmus Hall. Hit it. What do you think?
I'm going with Erasmus Hall. And every instinct in my body is saying go with Canarsie, but I'm just saying Erasmus Hall, I think they got enough physicality in the game that's going to kind of even the playing scale a little bit in their favor. So I'm going with Erasmus Hall on this one.
The key to this game, Sims, is when I look at it, the defensive end for Erasmus Hall, Caden Brown,
right.
CB, the highly recruited junior, has to make – he doesn't have to sack Chris Howell.
No, but
he's
got to
make him
pocket
uncomfortable.
For sure.
Howell gets the ball out quick, which I like. I had totally written off Canarsie after we saw him at Rutgers.
Right.
I am a huge believer in Canarsie now.
I know.
But Erasmus has won 23 straight in the PSAL. It ain't going to 24.
Wow.
I like the Chiefs of Canarsie.
I'm pumped.
Here we go. Up in Chris's neighborhood, Greenwich, 5-1, only loss to Southington. The combined records of the teams they've played are 30-12. At 4-2, Darien, 2 o'clock kick. Who do you like? Music, Harv.
Man, this is a tough one. I'm going Darien.
I will never pick Darien as long as that guy's coaching the team.
I know.
The last time Darien lost to the Cardinals of Greenwich, I did some research this morning, Sims. They've lost 9 consecutive times. The last time they beat him, September 20th, 07. They ain't losing 10 in a row. I'm going with the Cards and Jack Wilson. They're good quarterback.
Wow.
Greenwich
All right.
beats Darien.
Okay.
Sayville, Half Hollow Hills West, big one, Division 3 out there in Suffolk County. Both 7-0. On paper, it looks good. But are games played on paper?
No, sir, they are not. I'm going with Half Hollows.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, let me explain something to you, Mr. Sims. Kyle Messina, the running back, the sophomore, he's sensational, got an offer from Stony Brook this week. Jack Tripty, the quarterback, the junior, has had a wonderful year. But Joe Filardi from Hills West, this was a team that won 3 games last year. They're the turnaround team in Suffolk County.
Right.
But they're turning in the wrong direction today. They're going to 7-1. Golden Flashes go to 8-0. I like Sayville to win the game. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
If we weren't doing that St. Peter's game today against Seton Hall Prep, my Heine would be on the Belt Parkway in about 5 minutes buzzing down there to McDonald's.
I don't know what you're talking about. You're the producer. You pick the games that we do. So if there's anybody to blame, it's you, my friend.
Well, I couldn't make 2 changes in the final weekend of the season. I changed out of DePaul, Don Bosco last night.
I am excited to see St. Peter's again in person. We've done Seton Hall Prep a few times this year, so I feel like I know them pretty well. But I look forward to seeing a St. Peter's team that's been a little bit more battle-tested as the year has gone on. Of course, like you said, they've lost to a few of those big teams in that same division. You know, so this is a big one for them to build momentum going into the playoffs.
You talked about Somers quarterback Matt Fitzsimmons.
Yes,
last
sir.
Night, 3 touchdown passes, ran for 1. Somers wins to go to 8-0, 38-6 over Brewster. Next week, they'll host 8-1 Harrison. Tottenville last night, wild game, trailed 44-36 against Lincoln late in the game. They score 2. Tyshawn Bent, the running back, freshman, 3 touchdowns, going to be good. And Neville has a good freshman quarterback in Justin McGuire. Curtis, interesting game.
Yeah.
They went to Red Bank Catholic last night, led at the half, And then the Caseys of Red Bank Catholic took him out behind the barn. Your boy, Sabino Portello.
Dude is an animal.
You love him.
Animal.
You love him.
He was on the top 50 players, too, and he deserves to be there, even though he's going to school as a wrestler at North Carolina. Kid's an animal.
Up in Connecticut, New Canaan hadn't given up a point in 3.5 games. That changed last night. St. Joseph Trumbull goes to 6-1, give the Rams their first loss, 27-14. Connor Fahey, 2 interceptions for the St. Joe's team. If you can, go on Twitter, watch the interception by New Canaan linebacker Matt Salmini, an awesome one-hand interception. He returns for a toudown. Really good stuff. I'll see you out there in Cave Diner in Bayonne. I found one.
Diner in Bayonne. Let's
Hit
do it.
It.
Toodles.